You're listening to episode 42, brought to you by PrepDish. For your free 2-week trial, go to prepdish.com/lovely. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast for real moms who are seeking Jesus, trying to live their roles well, and seeking to add a little bit more loveliness to their life, even in just the little moments. I'm your host, Mackenzie Monroe from BoldTurquoise.com and CultivatingTheLovely.com. And you guys, this is the episode I have been talking about since last summer. All season long, I have been hyped up for this episode because you guys, I have a lot of backstory reading the works of this person, which you will hear about in the episode, but it is Robin Jones Gunn. Now, I know there are a lot of Robin Jones Gunn fans out there in the CTL community, and I am so excited to bring you this episode to talk all about Christy Miller and her Christmas stories and so many fun things. You guys, you're going to love it. I'm so excited. So, brace yourselves, it's going to be awesome. But before we jump into the episode, I did want to mention a couple of quick things. For those of you who are in the CTL Facebook group, you've heard a little bit about the fact that I've been going through a really tough time for about the last month, specifically. But there's a lot more backstory to that. And this week in the CTL private Facebook group, I have announced a lot more information about what I've been going through and just offering you guys some extra information about that, because I've always promised to be real with all of you, and it's been very hard during this season, but I'm finally able to share a little bit more, and so I wanted to do that so you can join us in the Facebook group. I will also be doing a live video talking about everything that I'm sharing over there this Thursday, so if you're not in the Cultivating the Lovely Facebook group yet, then make sure you go over there and get signed up. We'll get you approved, and you can kind of see what's going on and how we're moving forward. I do hope to be bringing lots of new things to Cultivating the Lovely very soon. We are working on a lot of stuff behind the scenes to really kind of breathe new life into Cultivating the Lovely and offer you guys more than we ever have before. So be sure to check out everything over there, and I look forward to chatting with you guys more about it. But without further ado, we need to get to Robin. So let's dive right in. Welcome, Robin.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I am so excited to have you on the show. So I know that not everyone will be as familiar with your work as I am, but I have to give a little bit of backstory from my perspective of going into this interview. It feels a little fangirly because this is one of my most exciting interviews, but it also kind of feels like I'm going to be chatting with an old friend because I have literally been reading your work since I was in the sixth grade, is when I started reading the Christy Miller books, and I honest to goodness chose my roommate for college based on her knowledge of the Christy Miller series.
Oh, I love it. That's so funny.
We connected it like a check out the college thing. And we both were talking about our future Todds. And we was like, okay, no, we have to ditch our old roommates and change because we both had this like similar vocabulary. It was fabulous. And my mom, I was telling her that I was going to interview you today, and she was like, tell her she's the reason we love English and Irish breakfast tea. We've been drinking it for years, and you've just become such a part of our family culture. But for people who aren't as familiar with you and your work, would you mind introducing yourself and telling just a little bit about what you do?
Yes, gladly. I started writing for teenage girls after I'd had some children's books published and some articles. That was sort of a hobby. Maybe my husband really urged me to try and get published because he thought I could, and I was kind of surprised. But I didn't take writing seriously until we were on a camping trip with a bunch of teenagers. My husband was a youth pastor. Mm-hmm. We were at the beach for a week in Southern California at San Clemente State Beach. And there were 13-year-old girls I had gathered in one tent every day just to read books. And they had brought from the library all their favorite books to read. And I crawled in the tent and said, "What? Look, there's sun and sand and surf and boys right out there. Why don't you go?" And they go, "We'd rather read about the sun and the surf and the sand." And so I asked if I could read their three favorite books. And I spent that afternoon in the tent getting this really sobering education that these 13-year-old girls with the library card were bringing home material that was going in their young hearts that was way too evocative and not what I was teaching them in Sunday school. These were not the stories they should be using as their role models. And I asked them, "Does your mother know this is what you're reading?" And, "Well, we just like to read. Give us something else. If you don't approve of our books, then give us something else." And at the time, there were very few books that were on the Christian market. This is way back in 1986.
Wow.
And so I bought, the next week, I bought the girls everything I could find, which was Jeanette Oak and, you know, just a few. And they read them in a few days and asked for more. And when I couldn't produce any more, they said, "How about if you write books for us? You write all these other books for children because your children are little and you tell us stories in Sunday school all the time. Why don't you write a book for us? As a matter of fact, we'll tell you what to write every week. We will help you." And that's exactly what happened. Every week I would read to these girls, trembling, just shaking as I was holding the papers that I had been typing out. And they would tell me everything that was wrong with Summer Promise and everything that should be different, and how they would never wear the outfit that I had put Christy in. Or, I wanted to call the main character Todd. I wanted to call him Ron. No, like Ron, we like Todd.
Aunt
Marty was going to be Aunt Bonnie. And they go, "No, Aunt Marty." So these girls for 2 years gave all their input, and I kept sending a few chapters to different Christian publishers, and I had 10 rejections over those 2 years. And
wow.
They kept saying, "We just don't see a market for books like this."
Oh,
thinking, go look at what your daughter is reading in her bedroom.
Right. Yeah. Now.
And so it was a result of that determination of those teenagers, just try again, try another publisher. We have to get this published. Come on, we're behind you. And the first book was picked up right when Focus on the Family started publishing in 1988.
Wow.
And they picked up the first book, published it. It was a God thing. And within a few weeks, we had mail coming in from readers saying, "We want more. We have trusted our lives to the Lord after reading this book. Tell us what to do next." And so this whole Christy Miller series continued, and the characters continued in the C.R. Jensen series, and then Christy and Todd, the college years,
yep.
And I kept writing the married years,
yes.
And I've just finished writing the baby years.
I know.
And the Katie Wells.
Yes, series. I was going to say, don't forget Katie.
Don't forget Katie. And then the sort of journey of these characters became for so many young women that role model and mentor and companion through, as you can attest to, through
yep.
their teen years and then into their college and married years. So it's extraordinary. And I've written a lot of other books, but the Christy Miller was really what I knew that was something I couldn't not do. And and that's where I think the challenge for anyone where you feel something stirring in you and it just won't go away, even though it's hard work and there's rejection, it's of great value if you just keep going. Take the next step. Try again.
Yes. And those books are just so impactful because I remember when I was a little bit younger, I had some friends who were, you know, super serious Christians, and they would only read nonfiction, and they would kind of like frown upon the Christian fiction I would read. And I kind of had to struggle with that. And I finally sat down and I was like, you know what, though? Me seeing, especially when I was younger, Christianity played out in real ways that I could say, like,
exactly.
Okay, that's what that's supposed to look like. That was so much more impactful for me than a bunch of platitudes. And not to say that nonfiction isn't wonderful or doesn't have its place or can't be impactful, but being actually able to understand it through story was what changed me. Because, like, my family, my parents didn't get saved until I was in junior high. And so it was about the time that I started reading these books. And so they were really trying to figure out what a Christian life looked like at the same time. And so to have that example was just so life-changing for me. And I have to say, it was really funny. I just got together recently with a friend. We live in Washington, but we went over to Montana to stay with her and her family for a little while. I just packed up my four kids, and a 4.5 hour car ride turned into a 9 hour one. And it was just, it was really something. But I had been waiting for Sandy Toes, which was the third book in the baby series, to come up at the library for me. I'd been waiting for months. And when I got there, she put it in my hands and she was like, "I got this from the library for you. I know you're only going to be here for 3 days, but just whatever time you can find, read this book."
Wow.
And because she had the same thing, like, she's always read these books. And it was just so fun because we were talking about how when we started reading the Christy Miller series, Christy was older than us. But now we are much older than her.
And somehow you caught up.
Yes. It's so funny to, like, look back on her just starting the baby years. And then we have, like, you know, I mean, I have a 2-year-old, but I also have an 11-year-old. So it's so funny to be able to see that. But one thing that we were talking about is, we've read other authors who've talked about that baby stage and the toddler stage, and they seem to be a little out of touch with remembering what that was really like. And you did such a brilliant job of channeling that and really remembering how hard that time is and how your friendships change. And how did you do that? How did you get back there?
Well, my daughter is now in the baby years.
Yes.
And she and her husband have a little boy who's 2 years old. And then our son and his wife have two little ones, a toddler and a 4-month-old. So I observed them without them realizing, but mostly was listening to the things that were the most important topics that they would talk about with their girlfriends, or that would be part of their everyday life, of that shift from the being married, figuring that out. And then now there's this other person in our lives, and we have to figure out how to shift everything. And watching our own kids made me remember a lot about that season of life. It all came back. But then there's also, we're part of a really wonderful church with a strong MOPS group, and they've had me come a number of times to speak or be part of the group. And then there's other groups of young moms that meet, and they'll have me come and do a devotion when they have a baby shower or something. So I have just lots of, again, it's that focus group, like the 13-year-old girls in my Sunday school class. It's just being in those communities where you see what's going on and how is it different? Yeah. How can that be? I just love seeing how when I'm writing and how the Lord just brings to mind truths from his word and the principles that are there and how they apply generation to generation. Some things just never change. And like with Christy and that feeling of how do I fit in with this group of people in the very first book. And my grandmother, who was in her 80s, read Summer Promise way back when. And she said, "Oh, it was exactly like my high school years." And I thought, "Grandma, you were in high school around the Titanic time, and you lived in the Midwest." But it's those life issues that don't change.
Yeah.
So that's where it touches the heart.
Yeah, and you did a really brilliant job of that. But that is another thing that I have to say about these books, is that they really are timeless. I really feel like I will be able to introduce them to my daughters when they get older. And even though there aren't, you know, cell phones and all of that, you know, frequent in Christy's life, I still think that there are those things that are just so universally applicable that they'll still get it. And I know I gave them to my nieces when they were younger and they loved them. And so I think that's so interesting that you were able to hit on those things, and all the rest of it just kind of fades away, that the cultural normities just kind of don't matter as much when you have those heart issues that you're dealing with.
Yeah, and that's why I think I still hear from readers every week. Hi, I'm 12 years old and I just found your book. And hi, I'm Christy. My life is just like Christy. And I was speaking at an event not long ago, and a group of young teenage girls came up and asked if I'd sign their book and take a picture, and they were so excited. And I said, okay, but first I have a question. You really like these stories. Oh, they're just like our lives. I go, no, wait. Have you noticed that Christy does not have a cell phone?
Yeah.
And they look at each other and they go, have you met her dad? Like, I'm sure he would never let her have a phone. And it was just like they entered in without it seeming as if it had been another time. And that's, I can't explain that. That's nothing,
I love that. I love that they work so well. And now even as an adult, we wait, like, when's the next one going to come out? Like, is there going to be a new series? Because they are good for the soul. I just devour them within days. So bravo to you, and bravo for just listening to God and letting him work that through you. I love to see that, because you just see God's fingerprints all through these books. I love that.
And isn't really, I mean, that's it for all of us. Whatever we do or every day, if we are so completely surrendered to the Lord and ready, like, okay, Lord, what's next? Come on, adventures. And so ready to receive, then the results of what we do in our lives is sacred. It's touched by the eternal. It's something that's beyond us. And we look at it and go, I never even thought of that. I didn't realize I could do that. It's so fun being like that co-creator of his spirit moving through us. And I think that there are many young women who have stories to tell, but are looking at the mechanics of it instead of just the free fall. Like, what's on your heart? If it comes from your heart, it will touch a heart. So go there.
And that was one of my favorite lines that I highlighted in the book that I binge read last night, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But I loved that particular line. If it's from your heart, it will touch somebody else's heart. Like, that's really what it all boils down to. If it's just, and I'm reading one of Tricia Goyer's new books right now also, and she kind of says something similar. Like, when she was just writing things that were kind of surface level, they weren't impactful and they got turned down by publishers. But when she actually was willing to go deep, that's when it all changed.
And be vulnerable.
Yes.
Like, okay, I'm just going to put this out here and I'm not going to worry about what people think. And then other people read it and go, I thought I was the only one.
Yes.
Thank you for saying that.
Yes. Yeah. I think that transparency really bonds people together, and it's so important. Yeah. Well, if you guys want to get in on reading the Christy Miller series, you have, I think, 3 days from the release of this podcast to when the latest book comes out for you to go binge read all the Christy Miller books. Because the newest, is it the last one of the baby years?
Yes.
Okay.
Number 3, last one in the Baby Year series. And the title is Sunset Lullaby.
Okay. So it's number 3 in the Baby Years. Go get it. Go pre-order it right now so that Amazon has it on your doorstep when it comes out. Because I love everything about Christy Miller. So go check it out, ladies. And then when we get back from our short little break, we're going to talk about another really fun project that Robin has been working on. We're going to take a quick minute to give a shout out to this week's sponsor, PrepDish.com. You guys have heard me talk about PrepDish a lot, I know, but I just want to keep reassuring you that they're awesome and they can be such a savior to you, especially during the holiday season, because oh my goodness, you guys, we are in the holiday season now. It's officially November. Where I live, we've actually had 2 snowstorms already. I'm not a fan, but they're there. So, what's the number one thing that I can take off my plate so that I can actually get food on my family's plate quicker? Meal planning. I just have to turn to PrepDish.com because they make my shopping list. They allow me to not have to figure out what we're eating, and it's food that my kids will actually eat. And they give me a whole prep list so I can get almost everything done on the weekends, which allows me to have very minimal time for getting things together on the weeknights. I can just throw things together in about 5 to 20 minutes, and voila, I have a home-cooked meal that wasn't very expensive on my family's plates. So, they have paleo and gluten-free options. I think you guys are going to love them. I want you guys to at least check them out. Sign up for just their 2-week free trial to get a really good grasp of how they work and if it's going to be something that will fill your family's needs and help take something off of your plate. Because the holidays are crazy. Why do we want to spend time planning our meals and doing all of that when we could be doing so much more fun things like spending time with our families? So head over to PrepDish.com/lovely. They will get you all set up, send you your free 2 weeks, and then I know you're going to want to sign up for more because it's just that good. All right, now let's get back to the show. Okay, so as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I binge read a book last night when I was sleepless, and my brain was just going a million miles an hour, so I was like, well, I don't think I'm going to have time to read this whole story about how Robin's book got turned into a movie, but I'll just read a little bit of it. Well, it turns out I read 50% of it before I could put it down, and I woke up first thing this morning and finished it because I also did something similar with the Father Christmas books last Christmas. And I don't know why. I'd been hesitant to pick up these Father Christmas books for some reason. I don't know why. I've read almost everything else you've ever written. But I hadn't picked up the Father Christmas books. And then when I started reading them, I realized I think it's some of your edgiest, deepest writing that you've done so far. Like, I just fell in love with these stories. I thought they were just so well crafted. And so, but I didn't even realize that a movie had come out until I totally missed seeing the movie. And so then I read this book last night that you wrote about how you wrote these books and how they became Hallmark movies. And it was so much more than just you chronicling how that happened, which was so interesting to kind of, you know, be a fly on the wall for. But it was so deep, too, about really allowing God to do big things in your life and to ask for the moon, like you said, that he loves us that much. And so will you talk a little bit about that? I mean, I know people can go and get this book, and you should. It's an ebook on Amazon. What was it called again? I didn't even pay attention to the name.
Yeah, it is called How My Book Became a Movie by Robin Jones Gunn.
There you go.
And it's a 100-page. Yep, we have print copies in my online bookshop at robingunn.com. So if you like the paperback copies, you can get them. And the proceeds are going to serve as a contribution to scholarships for a ministry that provides training for writers in difficult places in the world.
Awesome.
Well, I guess the pinpoint moment was when my agent called and said, a producer called me and said that she wanted some Christmas books. And so I sent her Finding Father Christmas. This was almost 7 years ago.
Wow.
And I had just that feeling of, wow. I mean, we've been wanting to get Christy Miller into production and TV or film, and have worked with producers and meetings, and it's just no open doors. Just keep praying, see what happens. But then here, this Christmas novella that I just sort of wrote in a season of life when there was a little pocket of time, went, oh, I'll write a Christmas novella, and ended up going, as you said, really deep in the story.
Yeah.
Didn't expect that, but again, you open yourself up. I'm ready. What should I write about, Lord? Oh, really? That? Okay. And so, and here it is that 7 years ago, someone's interested. So then we did the waiting. What's going to happen? Nothing. Well, they need more of a romance. My agent said, well, there's a second one, Engaging Father Christmas. You could take Finding Father Christmas and Engaging Father Christmas and combine the stories because your hallmark, you need the romance, you need the love story. So the producer took that and said, I think that'll work. And then we had to wait a couple more years before they got clearance. And then the phone call came. We are ready. We're going to move forward. Hallmark approved it. And suddenly everything was in motion. And the invitation was there for my agent and I to go on set. And we got to be there 3 days as they filmed and meet with the actors and have these really poignant conversations about the deeper meaning in the book and the story of the theme of forgiveness. And it was just felt like, wow, this is a mission field, really, because there's such a sense that we're coming, my agent and I coming in as believers in this place where the story resonates because it's forgiveness, but it's not what the film crew or the producers or the actors, it's not the kind of film they're used to doing or the kind of story that they're used to. And so there was this really sweet connection between them that just felt like, wow, something here is bigger than I can even imagine. So I got on the plane to come home and was so filled up with this joy. And I started writing, pulled up my laptop and I'm typing away. I thought, I'm going to write a blog about, you know, 7 years ago, I got the call and nothing happened. And the more I was writing, I thought, wow, this is a long blog. I think it's going to be a little book. Oh, yeah. I'll set it up as a fundraiser. And so I was really writing from that very personal place of this is my experience, but then also adding some bits of encouragement and advice of what I'd learned for anyone who's, I've got a book. I think it would make a great movie. How do I get my book made into a movie? And so it would have that bit of helpful information, but mostly to inspire them to just keep going. So that's how that book came about. And just like you said, Mackenzie, there have been so many people that happened upon the book or their mom gave it to them or something. And they sat down and read it in one sitting and have come back to me so excited that it was the boost they needed for a dream that had died. They had some inspiration or some creative idea. I mean, talking about creating lovely, you know, they jumped into something and then it just didn't all come together. And they thought, oh, I'm so discouraged. But then reading How My Book Became a Movie, it turned everything around of, wait, look at the big picture. What's God do? What do I need to do next? You know, what do I see that God has already done I can be thankful for? And what do I need to be open to doing next? And ask for the moon. He loves to bless us. He loves to pour out his goodness on us.
And that was, I think, the biggest reminder to me, even, I mean, aside from like big projects or things that I want to accomplish or anything, it was even just kind of boiling it down to my everyday life that can feel hard a lot of the time. And it just felt like, wow, it was just this reminder that he does love you. He loves you in extravagant ways and he wants good things for you, greater things than a lot of times you're even willing to ask. And even if it's just getting through struggles, like I feel like I'd kind of almost given up on asking God for some of these things to be helped, like with homeschooling my kids or whatever. Like this is just what it is. And it was this reminder that it may still be hard and it may take a long time, but God still loves you and he could do big things. He could work miracles here. Don't stop asking.
Yes. And you don't even know what's going on behind the scenes.
It was just so impactful. I mean, I just, because there's a lot of, I mean, I have this podcast and I, you know, I'm a voiceover artist and I do all these other things that's like, yes, I want things to be big there too. But I just loved all the verses throughout the book that were, just reminding me, like, God has so much that he wants for all of us, and we just have to be willing
yes.
to keep coming back to him. So I loved that. And so I think everyone should go buy these four more books. Also, go get the Father Christmas books and get this other book about how Robin's books became a movie, because it's so much more than just that. And the second movie is releasing, right? Really soon.
Yes. And that is such a great story, because the first movie aired on Hallmark Movies and Mystery Channel in 2016, Christmas season, and it broke a record for the Hallmark Channel as the number one most viewed and highest rated movie of the year.
Wow.
And so the producers came back and said, Hallmark wants us to do a sequel. And they put everything into motion. And this time I got to be a little more involved and have back and forth with the screenwriter some input. And then when my agent and I went on set again in June of this year, 2017, we showed up on set, and the actors came just like they're working, but we showed up and they stopped and they came and hugged us and we love this story and we were so glad you're here. And it was such an honor to feel like we were really part of the process, as
yes.
opposed to the first year. Everyone was kind of like, what are you doing here? And some of the crew were looking at us like, who are they? And why are we stopped working? And the director said, treat them like royalty. The woman right there, Robin, yeah, she's the reason you have a job.
Oh, wow.
Really fun, like, connection. And McKinsey, we are already moving forward on a third movie. It's in motion.
So does that mean there's a fourth book?
Well, I can't say a whole lot of
okay. The
details yet, but that's why I have a newsletter at robingun.com, and I've
yes.
been able to, when I can, I'll put out the information on the newsletter so that I can update those viewers, because there are so many Hardys, this group that came out of the When Calls the Heart Hallmark TV series. It's in its fifth season now. And Aaron Krakow is one of the principal actors in When Calls the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron is the female lead in the Father Christmas movies. So all these viewers that love Aaron in When Calls the Heart are now big fans of the Father Christmas movies
yeah.
and supporting yeah. everything she's doing. So I've got to get the word out to the Hardys to let them know when the next movie's coming, but I can't
yes.
say too much until I'm given clearance. But it's just, I mean, come on. How to have one book made into a movie. Thank you, Lord. I'm so happy. Oh, wait, there's more. There's
That's
more. I can do anything. It's just the Lord is able to just do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think or even imagine.
And when you make yourself that willing vessel, it's so inspiring to hear not only how, okay, the books are impacting people and drawing people to God, but then the books get made into movies, and not only do those movies then bring people back to the books to hear about him, but they're even impactful on the actors. And the actors following
yeah.
impacts even more people. You know, it's just, it's amazing how God can just take something that seems so simple. You've written, you know, almost 100 books, like, but how one little book can just do so much and it be so impactful for him.
Yeah, I really feel like there's more that we are going to see happening in the film industry, where more and more writers who are Christians and are writing stories that really come alive for the readers.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the books that more and more producers in Hollywood are beginning to look to, because the audience is there.
Yes.
And they're seeing that. It's breaking
yeah.
records. Well, wait, where do these people come from? We've been here all along. You know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, there's no need for a book for teenage girls. Well, wait, they're in the tent. They're reading all the other books.
Yeah.
It's just that, where's the audience for these stories that have these redemptive messages, and the audience is there and they're starting to see that. So I'm really excited to be in on, I've been invited into a number of conversations because of what God did with the first Finding Father Christmas movie, so that I've met in Hollywood with other producers and I've had conversations. Well, what else do you, have you written? What else can we produce? Would you work with us on this? Who are you working with over here that we can have a conversation to work together? And it's all starting to move forward in a way that I think is going to really impact not just for me and my little books, but I keep referring my other Christian writer friends. Well, you should look at this book for production. How about this? And it feels like, ooh, something's brewing. It's going to really grow.
I agree, because just last week watched The Case for Christ, and it was so good and it was so well done. And a lot of times when you watch a Christian movie, you're like, well, that was fine, but some of the acting was subpar, and you could tell they went in with an agenda. You know, it wasn't so much about the story, it was more about the point they were trying to get across. And that was just a great movie. Like, it was super enjoyable. I said, because it was just, it was just based on something real. It was based on what this guy actually went through, you know, what Lee Strobel actually did. And it wasn't just this contrived story to try to get a message across. And that's what Christian fiction is too. Like, it wouldn't be getting published if it weren't good story. And so seeing those things now coming over to the film industry, it's like, oh, finally, there's good story happening. And that's what's going to draw people in, not just like the hammering of the message.
And it's happening.
Yes.
Pretty exciting.
It's very exciting. And it's just so fun to get to watch it all happen and see it happening with you. And so if people want to watch the newest Hallmark movie, when is it coming out? It's just in a few days from when this airs, right?
Yes. So first of all, the Finding Father Christmas DVD is available October 2017.
Perfect.
And so you can order that wherever you get your DVDs. And then, and we also have them in my online shop. I like to send people to robingunn.com, because I know that it was so many books and so many different pieces, you can't always find everything on Amazon or where you usually shop. And that's where I'd rather you support the Christian bookstores first. Go there. I love them. I want to support them. But there's the sort of backup we put in place was to have a fully stocked online shop, so that if you can't find it elsewhere, that you can always come to robingunn.com and go to the bookshop.
Yeah.
So the DVD will come out in October, and then the Engaging Father Christmas will air during the Christmas season of 2017. And it's hopeful that it will be in the middle or end of November. So just watch for Engaging Father Christmas, and
yes, and by
there
the time
is.
This goes live, we'll probably have a better idea. And so we will have links to the dates that it's going live and links to all of Robin's
perfect.
Books and all of that in the show notes, so people can just go straight there and be able to access all of it. So
there you go. Perfect.
Thank you so much. Now I think we're going to wrap up, but I do have a few questions that I like to ask my guests. So what's one way you are creating loveliness in your life right now?
Well, I love this question, because just this week I have done something new. We, my husband and I live in Hawaii,
yes.
and it's always beautiful outside. And I have been going outside and cutting just greenery, palm fronds, green branches. I wash all the bugs off, and I have them around the house just in a single, there's one vase I really like, that it was a some kind of iced tea, herbal iced tea bottle, and I tore off the label and cleaned it up, and it's got a real skinny neck, and I have a palm frond just coming out of it and
fun.
On the bathroom counter, and I love it. It just freshens up the house, and it feels like the opportunity to look at something more closely than just walk out the front door, there's greenery here and there, but it's right there and you see the details. And just, I have been in such a place of feeling worshipful of God's great creativity and creation by just having these different bits of greenery. And I think I hadn't done so much of bringing things in because we don't have the kind of flowers that we have, the hibiscus and the plumeria, really last just a day.
Yeah. And I
float them in a little dish of water, but I start bringing in the greenery and it feels like it's alive. It's lovely.
Yeah. It's just lovely. It is lovely. And man, if you're going to live in Hawaii, take advantage of all of it. I mean, wow.
Absolutely.
That just does sound lovely. I like it. And you could really do that. I mean, once this comes out, a lot of the mainland, we will be rather cold. So there's not so much greenery to bring in. But, you know I have a friend who, she's actually been on the podcast. And she, once spring hits, she actually carries around just like a bottle with water in her car and a pair of scissors. And if she sees anything that has a flower on it that's even hanging over a sidewalk, she considers that fair game. It's not in the person's yard. It's on the sidewalk. And she will go and cut it off and put it in the bottle in her car and take it home because she just like looks for every opportunity to bring that life and that beauty in. So I love that. And for me, something I have been doing lately to cultivate loveliness, it's a little bit of a work thing because it definitely pertains to the podcast, but I have just been reading and listening to audiobooks like a madwoman trying to prepare for all of these interviews that I'm doing, but it's been filling my heart up so much. It's like through every book that I've been reading, God has just been like breaking open different pieces of my heart and showing me different things. And it not only makes me excited to be doing the podcast interviews, but it makes me feel like he's growing me and investing in me through this work that I'm doing. And so it's just been so fun to revisit some old books, like with your stuff and everything, but then also get the new stuff too. And it's felt like a really rich time in that way. So you guys can go to my Goodreads and see all the crazy amounts of reading that I've been doing over the past month or so. It's been a lot.
That's great.
Okay.
That's really wonderful.
So let's break for these questions that I ask for everyone. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Do you prefer candles or an essential oil diffuser?
Essential oil diffuser.
Okay. Cloth napkins or paper?
Cloth.
All right. City or country?
Both.
Okay. I should have island in the mix there. That would be more applicable.
Maybe because where I live, we're kind of remote. So when I get on the mainland and go to a city, it's like, wow, look at this.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Paper or digital?
Almost both, but I lean toward paper because I really love Hawaiian history and I have quite a collection of books that are 100 years old or more.
Wow.
And I have been able to load a couple of them on my iPad, but it's just not the same as moldy little bits and corners and
Yeah, it's like a great old Bible, like, you know, the smell of the leather.
Yeah.
And you just can't beat that. It's like a whole sensory experience.
Right.
Okay, shopping online or in the store?
I have to do online because we have a Target. That's a big deal here. We just got it last year.
Oh, wow.
But we don't really have a lot of places to shop. So online.
Okay. It's 4 o'clock or whatever time you make dinner and you need a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or to music?
Music.
Okay. What's some of your favorites?
I have quite a selection on Pandora and lately it's just been to shuffle all of it. So there'll be some worship music, there'll be some classical, there'll be some Hawaiian slack key guitar, there'll be some like Louis Armstrong jazz, just a nice variety.
Mix.
I like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
that sounds good.
A lot of different ones.
Fun. Okay. Chocolate, milk or dark?
Absolutely dark.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. Yes. Hands down. Is there any other option?
No.
Sports or no sports?
Sports for watching or participating in, or
Either one.
that is a mixed question because our main sport, of course, swimming, and
Yeah.
I love it. Love getting in the ocean every chance, but I'm not like put on the goggles and make it a sports event. It's
Yeah.
play.
Yes.
So I don't, I'm not an athlete that way at all. And
Okay.
but watching sports, that my husband isn't a real, there's certain teams that he'll want to watch or something, so it's not such a part of, we got to keep up with this and that. So
Yeah.
I'm kind of in the middle nowhere land there.
Okay. So live broadcasting, like on Facebook or Periscope, would you rather watch or broadcast?
I would rather broadcast if I have something to say,
Yeah.
because when I skim through and watch, and sometimes, as we all can, you get sort of down the rabbit hole of you've watched all these things and you come up for air and you go, well, I just lost an hour of my life
Yeah.
and there wasn't anything redeemable there. So I like to watch when it's, I know what, or someone has recommended it and they go, oh, be sure and watch the whole thing. But I love the chance to broadcast live when there's some news to share or something, and then it makes it a real time experience with the people that are commenting.
Yeah.
That's pretty great, because writing's an isolating
Yeah.
sort of career, and so you don't always know, is anybody out there, and
Yeah.
that's a really nice way to go, okay, I'm on track.
Yeah, it's very verifying, like, all right. That instant response, there's just something different about it.
Yeah.
Okay, what is your favorite movie?
My favorite movie is Babette's Feast. It's an international film subtitled that is a woman in Scandinavia who just gives her all to people in the, she makes a feast. She's a chef, she's a cook, and the people she serves it to don't really appreciate or value what she put into it. And it's so subtle, and I love that selfless giving role model in Babette, that she gives for the love of giving because she's gifted to do this. And where she lives in this remote village, she puts her all into it with all the money she has for this great feast. And
Wow.
they don't even, but then when they leave the feast, the people end up breaking into song because they're just filled up. And it's like that when we give from our whole heart, even if people are just have no opinion or they don't really care, like, okay, I'll watch this movie or something. But when they come away from the story and they're filled up, like you've been with all the reading that you're
Yeah.
doing, then you just know that all that work was worth it, and all the criticism that you get and all the
Yeah.
naysayers, you just don't listen to them because it's for somebody to get filled up, and that's why you keep doing
That's awesome. I'm gonna have to go look for that. That just sounds beautiful.
it. Yes.
Okay, last question. If you were to put yourself on the crunchy spectrum, where zero is totally not crunchy and 10 is like singing Kumbaya by the fire with your legs unshaven and dreadlocks in your hair, where would you be on the crunchiness spectrum?
I have moved more and more toward the 10 side of the spectrum,
Yeah.
especially where we live.
Yeah.
And so I'm currently probably a 6 with
Okay.
my essential oil diffuser going as we speak.
Love
And
it.
yes.
That sounds good. That's a very respectable answer.
Thank
Well, thank you so much for meeting with me today. It's been so fun to just get to chat with you and talk all about Chrissy Miller and Father Christmas and everything. It's just been a joy. So thank you for coming on the show.
Mackenzie, you are a delight, and I do pray
Oh.
that the blesses the work of your hands. You're doing a good work, and I just ask that his blessing be upon you. And thank you for letting me slide in and be one of your guests. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, I just love listening to that episode with Robin again and again, and I was there when we recorded it, but she was just so lovely to talk to. You guys, she just exuded joy. She's one of the most fun and loving people that I have had the opportunity to interview so far, and it has just been so fun to get to edit and put together this episode because I was so looking forward to it, and she did such an amazing job. I hope that you are as encouraged by this episode as I was. If you guys want links to her new movie and her new books, then be sure you head over to boldturquoise.com/42 to get all of that good stuff and all the links to Robin. And then you can also go there to get the links to PrepDish if you want to, but you can also just go to prepdish.com/lovely to get that 2-week free trial that we've been talking about. I want to thank again all of you who've been leaving ratings and reviews in iTunes. I'm so grateful. And if you haven't been able to do that yet, it's super easy to just head over to iTunes, either on your phone in the podcast app or on your computer, and leave a really quick rating and review. Just a one-sentence thing would be awesome. All right, ladies, that's all. Until next time, go be bold and gracious.